on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in all listeners, this is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introducing the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On The Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton and you're listening to On The Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
It's Sunday, it's 8 p.m. and it's Phoenix 98 FM and it's live on the ropes on this week's shows, news and views as always. And we'll be joined by future world title challenger Chantel Cameron. Charlie, weekend came around quick again and another defeat for the Hammers.
Absolutely,
bro. Absolutely doomed.
You sound like Martin Tyler there. Sky Sports. I mean, we were on the telly yesterday. Atrocious performance. To be fair, a lot of people were saying that we played really well. I thought it was just route one football, Mark, into the box, trying to get a few headers in. I wasn't impressed at one iota.
Unlucky not to get a point, but typical West Ham. We come away with nothing. A long, hard season ahead. Now, a few stories this week, Charlie. We've got to get our teeth into. We spoke about this recently. We had Frank Smith on the show from Matchroom Boxing. Potentially Matchroom versus Queensbury. Now, this could happen. Eddie Hearn has reiterated this weekend that he intends to treat Frank Warren to a slap-up meal at the end of September and talk about the fights. Warren said, "I'm really looking forward to this, Eddie. Somebody else is going to pick up the bill for a change. That sounds great to me." We could have Queensbury versus Matchroom.
It sounds like when me and you go out, Mark, with the other, with our ladies. I always foot the bill. You never put your hand in your pocket.
Right, so stop dreaming.
Yeah, I know, Mark. I mean, I don't know if this is all speculation or what, or it's just keeping fight fans, you know, on their toes. I mean, it's exciting, right? We love to see the big fights being made. I mean, what kind of fights are we talking about? Any ideas?
Well, there have been some tasty fights mentioned or speculated. Buatsi versus Yard, that would be, you know, mouth-watering. Conor Benn versus Chris Jenkins. I mean, I think that's going to be a mandatory fight very soon for the British title. You know, Daniel Dubois versus Dylan White.
Hold on, he's got to get past Joe Joyce first.
I know, but all these fights, Joe Joyce, Chisora, Shiraz versus Cheeseman potentially, Sharp versus Barrett. I mean, it would make great pay-per-viewing revenues, I think, for both promoters. I mean, it would just be fantastic to have that show either on BT versus Sky. Either way, it would be awesome. I'd love to see it happen.
Yeah, well, you're talking about pay-per-views. You know, I'll cover it later. Some of the fights next week, the Charlo brothers are out, aren't they, on pay-per-view in America? I think it's PBC. Like $75. I mean, you would pay. I reckon for some of those names you just reeled off there, you'd probably look to pay. I don't know, would you pay like just under 50 quid, a penny short of 50 quid for that maybe?
Yeah, but that's the thing. In the current climate that we're in and the pandemic and whether spectators are allowed in the arena or not, this could play into their hands, really, and they could potentially charge a slight premium to what we would normally pay. So let's say the most expensive pay-per-view,
30 quid,
it's $29.99. They might be able to push it out to
50 squid.
And the $39.99, I reckon.
No, but well, Frank Warren, he's tight, and Eddie Hearn's tight. They're going to want their pound of flesh off the paying fans, right? So if they're going to do a deal 50-50 down the middle, they're going to want 25 quid each per viewing. So it's going to be 50 quid.
Interesting times ahead. So, yeah, watch this space. Maybe in October, November, we'll start to hear more noise potentially about Queensbury Promotions versus Matchroom Promotions. Now, Eddie Hearn has also said that he is very close to a deal to get Alexander Usyk versus Derek Chisora done for October the 31st. Now, Usyk's videos, Charlie, on social media have been hilarious, calling out Derek. Have you seen him?
Yeah, have you seen him running along the beach with his son?
Yeah.
Shouting him out.
Derek!
And have you seen Derek Chisora's one recently with David Haye thumping?
We had David Haye thumping his ribcage. So, yeah, it's really, really makes good viewing. Really looking forward to seeing those two guys in the ring against each other.
Absolutely. Can't wait for that. I'll tell you what, though, Mark. That, you know, Chisora's, whenever he's got in with a decent name, Chisora, he's given a good account for himself. And, you know, Usyk, as we know, he stepped up from cruiserweight. He was a fantastic cruiserweight. You know, won all the belts, cleaned up. Since he's moved up, he's had one bout. Not overly impressive. And he's never really, faced anyone well, real punching power. Chisora has got that. You know, he's got that in abundance. You know, it only takes one of his left hooks to connect with Usyk. So I'm intrigued to see that being made. I really am, because Usyk is a bit more he's a bit more technical. You know, which apart from Tyson Fury in a heavyweight, you know, who else out there that's kind of that technically adept? You know, inept. Sorry. I'm interested to see it being made. And you know, who do you reckon to win?
I think Usyk. You know, don't get me wrong, it's heavyweight boxing. We've seen that with Povetkin versus White recently, and Chisora is a big puncher. Usyk's never really felt the power of a real heavyweight yet, so that will be a test. I think if he does come through it, which I think he will, just due to his, you know, his boxing IQ, his technique, his ring craft, I think he will be too much for Derek Chisora. And I do genuinely believe that Usyk wants to go on and test Anthony Joshua, because he will be his mandatory if he gets through this. He'll get a shot, and that's what he wants, Anthony Joshua. So that everyone's chasing Joshua, aren't they? Or Fury in the heavyweight division.
Yeah,
so,
but do you think he's got the power to knock someone like Chisora out?
No, he hasn't got the power. I think he's just got the ring craft. It would be too smart for him, and just to avoid that big hit from Derek Chisora. Also this week, Chris Eubank Jr. has declared that he will be watching a show that you just touched on there, Charlie. Jermell Charlo versus Sergey Derevchenko very closely next week, September 26th, as he intends to challenge the winner for the WBC middleweight title.
Interesting. I mean, if I'm honest, Mark, you know, Chris Eubank, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan, Mark. And to be fair, I'm not a huge fan of Charlo either. The pair of them, they talk a good talk, and they're, you know, I don't know, they're just all hype, you know, and no trousers really. So yeah, I mean, Charlo, I don't really rate any of the twins, to be honest with you. I don't really rate Chris Eubank. So yeah, Derevchenko, he put up a good bout. Who was he out against last time out? He fought extremely well.
He was in with Canelo, wasn't he?
Was it Canelo?
Canelo was
no, it was you. No, it was, who was it? Derevchenko, he was in with,
sure he was in with Canelo.
Well, whoever he was in against, he gave a fantastic account of himself. It might have been Canelo. And he'll give Charlo a good run for his money as well. But, you know, would I like to see that being made? Am I interested by it? No. I'm sure the US audience are, for sure, but I'm certainly not.
I think Chris Eubank Jr. is now 30 years of age. He's clearly chasing, you know, the big money fight. Charlo's undefeated. If he gets through that, then Eubank will probably want a big test in the US and a big payday, so that could potentially happen. Also, the fight that was announced this week, which we briefly touched on there, Alexander Povetkin versus Dillian Whyte 2 for the WBC interim title. Obviously, November the 21st now is the new date, as confirmed by Matchroom Sport this week. Now, the venue is to be confirmed, the Royal Albert Hall or Wembley Arena potential venues with or without fans. Charlie, you know, big night for Dillian Whyte again. I mean, if he loses this fight, he says he doesn't really need to change much. You know, all he has to do is watch out for that big uppercut or you know, over right hand from Povetkin. He's got to stay away from it.
Well, he's got, Mark, that's what he should have been told last time out, right? He should have been told that last time under David Caldwell. He should have told him, keep away. Which I think he was told that, because if you look how slow he came out of the blocks, but his jab went, you know, it wasn't effective enough. It really wasn't. It was a you know, a lazy jab. You know, he needs to be, and he should have been fit, because he was out in Portugal for months upon end. You know, I think it was you know, his eyes was beyond Povetkin. You know, he was so concentrated on that. You know, next in line for the WBC, he thought he was routine. He thought, you know, I've only just got to turn up and I'm going to beat this, you know, this old guy Povetkin. This is what I'm thinking was in his head at the time. And clearly, you know, he got caught on the blind side. And I mean, what an absolute peach of a punch. And this time around, he's going to have to be mentally aware, physically aware. And for me, just get the jab going, keep the guy away. Yes, he got two flash knockdowns. They, you know, they didn't hurt Povetkin. So Dillian Whyte has to be clever. He has to box clever. And it is really a career-defining moment, this fight. It really is, because if he loses again, no one will want to go near him. Matchroom, you know, he won't be pay-per-view class anymore. He'll just be like, you know what, that's the guy who almost had it and he threw it away.
But that's the thing. If he boxes smart, he probably goes on to win it, but we won't see the same Derek Chisora that we may have seen
Derek
in the
Chisora.
Past. Sorry, Dillian White that we have seen in the past. That's the problem for me. If there's any anxiety going into that ring on November 21st, if there's stage fright, if he freezes, yeah, it's a big, big night for White. Massive night.
Yeah, but you could have said so was the fight camp night.
No, but not as big as this, Charlie, because...
But it's technically it's the same thing.
There was a rematch clause in there, which Eddie Hearn tends to do with his fighters, right? And because he's that close to a mandatory world title shot, I mean, if he his career's over if he loses the rematch. It's over. Even the domestic levels, he's just going to be just a washed up fighter.
He'll be a gatekeeper, yeah, fighting the likes of Dave Allen and etc. It is, Mark, but he should have been, you know, let's be honest, I don't want to be too critical because it was once in a million shot, wasn't it, from Povetkin? You know, and that's heavyweight boxing for you. He got caught on the blind side. It shouldn't have happened. It did. And, you know, he needs to make this work this time around. And Povetkin, he knows now he's in with us. You know, he's obviously going to get paid good money, isn't he, to come back to the UK. Do you know what I mean? He's going to get a decent night salary for turning up. So has he got enough, you know, has he got enough desire to go again, or is he looking for one last paycheck? You know, it's an intriguing one, and one certainly, you know, White has to win.
Now, also announced this week, Joshua Buatsi will face Marco Kalik in a light heavyweight clash on October the 4th. Our guest, Chantel Cameron, will be fighting for the WBC super lightweight title versus Ario of Brazil, Charlie. So, yeah, I mean, that was announced this week. Also announced, Lewis Ritson will face Miguel Vazquez in a super lightweight clash on October 17th. Venues are to be confirmed very, very soon, but obviously that Ritson fight will probably take place in the northeast.
Yeah, fantastic news, Mark. Fantastic news, obviously, for our guest, Chantel Cameron. That's going to be a big, big night of world-class boxing. Really looking forward to that. We'll obviously catch up with Chantel more in part two with regards to that opportunity. It's a massive one for her. Lewis Ritson, looking forward to seeing him. I think Varquez, is he the guy who fought Ahara Davis?
Yeah, former world title challenger, isn't he?
He's an awkward customer.
Yeah, good Mexican fighter, actually. We saw him live, didn't we, against...
O'Hara was lucky that night, wasn't he? Did they call it a draw?
It was a draw, but it was never a draw.
Yeah, so that'd be an interesting one because, you know, Ritson's a prospect, but he's certainly not overly impressed me. So I'll be looking forward to that. Yeah, so, you know, Matchroom announced, and obviously Boatsy, Mark, who's been very inactive. You know, looking forward to see how he fares as well. So there's some great, great, great bouts coming up. Really, really looking forward to it. Cannot wait.
Not too much boxing this weekend to discuss, but a couple of results just to mention there. The super welterweight Erickson Lubin beat Terrell Gashier by a unanimous decision in the 12-round contest last night. It was at the Sun Arena in Connecticut. The scores were announced at 115, 113. 116 to 112 and 118 to 110 in favour of the winner, Erickson Lubin. Also, just to mention, the Nigerian heavyweight who had aspirations to fight Anthony Joshua in what could have been, you know, an all-Nigerian affair, so to speak. Efi Agzeba he has enhanced his claims for a future fight, but he laboured it on a points victory over Jonathan Rice in Las Vegas last night. The Nigerian heavyweight extended his unbeaten record to 14 wins with a wide unanimous decision over Rice, but Ajigba suffered a hand injury which prevented him from producing an expected knockout. He had previously stopped 11 of his opponents with his explosive power, although on this occasion he opted to control Rice for 10 rounds with a stiff jab, earning the verdicts of 99 to 91 on two of the cards and 98 to 92 from the judges. Do you know much about this Nigerian heavyweight, Charlie?
I don't know a lot. I know that Bob Arum has really been talking up his stock, and he's saying he's the future of the heavyweight division. So, you know, that's that's all hype, isn't it? Again, that's Bob Arum for you. But, we'll see if he's the real deal. You know, it's a tasty division, the heavyweight division. So, you know, let's see how he goes.
Absolutely. Now, lots of boxing to look forward to this autumn. Some of the bouts are being announced over the weekend and last week. You know, I can't wait just to see these bouts come through now towards the end of September into October and November. And obviously Chantel Cameron is one of those, and we'll be catching up with Chantel in part two. We're going to leave you with a little bit of a song now, one that should get you up at your seats and fighting your way through into part two. We're going to leave you with the Script Hall of Fame.
Chest. You could beat the world, you could beat the war. You could talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You could be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the hall of fame. You can run the mile. You can walk straight through hell with a smile.
You could be the hero. You could get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for your people. Do it for your pride. And you're never gonna know if you never even try.
Do it for your country. Do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
standing in the hall of fame.
Yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
Politicians, be preachers, yeah. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions, be truth seekers, be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers,
preachers.
Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.
Standing in the hall of fame.
Welcome back to part two of the show, guys. We're pleased to say we're welcomed on the line by Wham Bam Chan, Chantel Cameron. How are you, Chantel? And I hope life has been kind to you and your loved ones over lockdown. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How's yourself?
Yeah, we're keeping well. We're just, you know, head down, trying to get through it and, you know, just respecting all the regulations and yeah, keeping safe.
Yeah, got to be done, hasn't it? Stay safe and then hopefully back to normality as soon as everyone listen to the regulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Chantel, first question for me, really, just to get down to your the boxing business and your story. We want to take it back, first of all. We know you've had some big news this week, but, you know, Chantel Cameron, as a 10-year-old, you took up kickboxing, which led to boxing. And why did you get into the sport?
I got into kickboxing because I just loved I loved fighting, really. So when I was younger, I used to always play fighting with boys outside, so I just kept begging my mum and dad to let me do kickboxing or karate, but I was obsessed with the film Kickboxer, so I went into kickboxing, but I never tried karate. I think it would have been for me.
And then a few years later, Chantel, you switched to boxing. And this is where it really began to, you know, speed up. Certainly Team GB, and, you know, you're fast-tracked more or less overnight into that environment. I mean, how was the whole experience for you? You know, when you think back, obviously, you know, the transition from kickboxing to boxing, and then obviously just to elevating, you know, your amateur career so quickly into Team GB. I mean, how was that for you?
It was crazy, really, because it wasn't actually my plan to go into boxing. So it was... It was just a mad moment. I wanted to stay kickboxing, but it was actually my kickboxing instructor, who I'm still really close to. He said to me, there was basically nothing in it for kickboxing, nothing in kickboxing for me anymore, because they were struggling to get me fights. It was costing my dad an arm and a leg, because they wanted me to fight European opponents, but for my dad to have to pay for everything, even though that I was on another person's show. So it was actually my kickboxing instructor who said the women got the go-ahead for the boxing in the Olympics, and he said, I think you should have a go at the boxing. And I was actually distraught, thinking, why doesn't he want to train me anymore? But it was actually for my best interest, and I'm still very close to him now. So it was crazy, because I never actually wanted to box.
No. Obviously, you switched over to boxing, and sadly, you missed out on the squad for the Rio 2016 Olympics. Are we right in saying that you were actually going to turn your back on the sport at that time?
Yeah, completely. The amateurs never suited me. I was very lucky to be on Team GB, because obviously that's most people's goal and dream to box on Team GB as an amateur. But I don't think the amateurs never actually suited me. I can remember my amateur boxing saying that international boxing style had ruined my actual style, because it was very stand-up, tall, tippy-tappy, whereas that was never really my style of fighting. I've always been quite an aggressive fighter, throwing punches, come forward, and it just never suited me, really. I got where I got, which is great, but I don't think I was ever gonna do much as an amateur.
And then obviously at that point where, you know, you contemplating turning your back on a sport, somehow, you know, your then coach, John Daly, lined up a meeting with the McGuigans, and the journey began into the pro ranks. I mean, what was that experience like initially when you hooked up with Shane and Co down in Wandsworth?
Yeah, it was crazy, because I was actually talking to somebody in Australia, getting me ready to go out to Australia and teach in women's shelters. So I was going to go out there and teach boxing and travel around the whole of Australia, teaching in different places. So that was all booked in, but I had a meeting with the McGuigans, and as soon as I got my hands wrapped and started hitting the pads, I don't know what happened, but I was just like, I'm not finished with this. I want to have a go at the pro again, because the smaller gloves and the way my hands were wrapped, I can just remember the excitement and the buzz. It just all comes flying back. And I had to ring up the guy and say, like, oh, sorry, I'm not going to actually come to Australia now. I'm going to turn professional and carry on boxing.
Now, Chantel, I think, I don't know if we're right in saying this, but things suddenly turned a little bit south, unfortunately, in 2019 with the McGuigans. And again, you found yourself contemplating turning your back on the sport. Eventually you went your separate ways. Without going too much into the details, was it the training methods, was it the travel, attention to detail, you know, what was the root of the problem and the McGuigans, really, that, you know, you didn't quite see eye to eye, so to speak?
So it was the training, it was not the travel, because obviously now I'm in Manchester, which is double the distance, and I've got no problem with that. It was mainly the training and just without saying too much, it was just the environment and situation.
Fair dues. We didn't want to pressure too much on that. We're just, you know, giving everyone just giving everyone a story, you know, in the twists and turns in boxing, right? You know,
it was a massive lesson I learned. I think when you go from the amateur to the pro game, I don't think a lot of people, I wasn't aware of that pro boxing is actually more for business. It's, I'd say, 20% boxing and 80% business, and I wasn't prepared for that. So that's basically it, really. But I'm a lot more wiser now.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Now, every cloud and all that malarkey, you know.
Yeah, yeah, your lessons learned.
Exactly. Now, after the split, you obviously link up with Jamie Moore and Nigel Travers, as you said, they're up in Manchester. I mean, what's been the main driver in terms of the rebirth, the regeneration of your career, you know, working, you know, closely with Jamie and Nigel? And as you say, you know, it's not just around the corner, you know, Salford and Manchester, it's a long way to go for you.
Yeah, I'd say the main turning point now is... boxing's not, I have no pressure in boxing anymore, whereas at the start of my career, I was loving it. I was loving getting in the ring. I was loving fighting. And then towards the end of my career, I hated it. I hated training. I even started, I think it was my last two fights, I hated fighting. I can remember, especially in my last fight, I got cut. I got headbutted and I got cut. And I can remember I was just looking around the arena thinking, I don't even want to be it. What am I doing? And I won the fight, but I made it hard work just because my head wasn't in it, because I had things going on outside of the ring. And I can remember I just thought, this isn't done. Like, I'm not putting myself in the ring. It's a dangerous sport as it is. And I can remember blood was coming down my face. And I just thought, this is stupid. And since I've been with Jamie and Nige, I've never dreaded a training session, because it's always fun. And even if they see that maybe I'm a bit fatigued or a bit tired, they'll just give me an easy session without killing me, without making me feel bad about myself. They'll make me feel good. And I feel like now people can see when I box, I'm a confident fighter. It doesn't look like I've got bricks on me. I don't look tense and I'm forcing everything. I'm a lot more relaxed and I'm just enjoying it again. And I think that's what I needed. It was literally like a rebirth. It was like, now I'm just doing it for fun again. And it's great because I'm winning, but I'm just enjoying it now. It feels like a hobby again, not a job.
Yeah, superb. And obviously, Chantel, massive news announced this week for you. You will be boxing for the WBC Super Lightweight World title on October the 4th versus Brazil's Adriana dos Santos Arrugo. Hopefully I've pronounced that right. on yet another massive Sky Sports card. I bet you cannot wait.
Oh, literally, I cannot wait, especially with Corona. This year, I had it in my head, I was thinking, I'm not going to even box this year. So, to be getting a fight and to be boxing for the world title, it's amazing. I was ecstatic when I found out, because I just didn't think it was going to come off. And obviously, when you get that phone call saying, yeah, you got the green light, I couldn't believe it. I was off. Thank God for that.
Now, obviously, October the 4th, I know you don't want to look beyond that, but, you know, for probably the last year, maybe year and a half, everyone talking about Chantel Cameron, talking about Katie Taylor. You know, it's inevitable these girls are going to get it on. If you get past this challenge, you take that belt, do you foresee that, you know, epic unification or whatever you want to call it, if Katie wants to step up and challenge you or if you want to step down, blah, blah, can you see it happening? Are we closer to that big contest?
I'd like to say we are, but I feel like they're not looking at me as a potential opponent. I feel like they're throwing in Cyborg and rematch with McCaskill. They seem to be throwing around a lot of names, but my name's not being brought up. But I am mandatory for Katie Taylor at lightweight as well. So I'm hoping that I do get that shot, especially as I am mandatory, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You've been mandatory for two shots. You mentioned Katie Taylor and McCaskill as well. And obviously this has come your way. How's camp? You touched on there your relationship with Jamie Moore and Nigel Travis. How's it been? I guess you've been keeping yourself fit, waiting for this moment to happen.
Yeah, it's been quite weird, because it's been a weird camp, because obviously I've been in limbo really for most of it. It's only been, I think, what, the last four, probably not. Probably about 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but I've actually known that it was going ahead. So it's been a good camp here. I've had loads of sparring. I feel like my tactics for this fight is spot on for my opponent. And I actually had a change of opponent as well. So the tactics that I was doing, I was a bit more not as comfortable with. And for this opponent, I feel like it's a great match for me. I feel a lot more confident with this matchup.
And Chantel, I mean, you switched to Matchroom recently this year. I was just going to ask, was that for the big fights? I mean, obviously with MTK previously.
Yeah.
Is that why you switched? Was it, you know, were you, I'm not saying you were becoming impatient. You were just like, right, come on, I want the world title shot now.
Yeah, but it's like, obviously with Matchroom, it's a big platform to box on. So I've wanted to be with Matchroom for a long time. But obviously with Mark, last year I was, even last year I was having hearings and stuff with my old management. So I was kind of in limbo there as well. There's not really much I could do. So I was on the MTK shows, which were brilliant because I got my mandatory positions. But it was just basically a waiting game. I was having to be patient, and now I've signed with Matchroom, so I think that's a shot.
Now, you're a Northampton girl, and there seems to be a few boxers coming out of that region and area.
Yeah.
I mean, Kieran Conway is another one who's really excelling at the moment under Matchroom, ironically, as well. I mean, can you ever, you know, see a massive contest, you know, in Northampton, maybe the Sixfield Stadium? You know, imagine that you and Kieran on a, you know, you were the world title, your first defence. I mean, can you see boxing, you know, in Northampton?
It will be amazing, yeah. I think that's, I've said it before, that's what kind of, like, my dream, probably my dream venue at the Cobblers or at the Saints grounds, because obviously I've lived in Northampton all my life. Northampton people seem to support me, and there is so much talent in Northampton, because the Fail brothers, they've turned professional now, and they're great boxers. And there's also a lad called Drew Brown, who won the Ultimate Boxer, the first series. And he's an unreal talent as well. So there's so many good boxers in Northampton. So it could make a great card. But just if anyone's willing to make that investment in Northampton, obviously it's a small town.
Yeah, and I was going to say, why is that? Are there many boxing gyms there? Or do you think that, obviously, since, I guess, the Olympics 2012, 2016, it's really put boxing at the forefront? I mean, how many gyms are there in Northampton?
Oh, God, because Northampton is Northamptonshire, so there's like on the outskirts of Northampton as well. But I'd say on top of my head, there's about 5-6 really good gyms.
Good stuff. Well, you know, hopefully, you know, with you at the top of your game, and obviously this world title shot, you know, you're certainly putting Northampton on the map, so to speak. I mean, and generally women's boxing, you know, since obviously over lockdown, you know, real 50-50s during fight camp. I mean, yeah. You know. The wider boxing public now are really intrigued and really watching women's boxing. I mean, what can some of the boxing fans expect from you on October 4th? I mean, what are you going to bring to the table?
I think I'm pretty relentless, so I'm there to impress the people. And I won't take a backward step unless I want to. And just aggressive, really. I'm in there to get the win and hurt somebody.
Superb. So you can't see it going the full 10 rounds in. That's what you're saying.
She's a tough girl, but we'll see. We'll see.
Superb, Chantel. Well, listen, we really do appreciate you tonight joining us here at Phoenix 98 FM. We wish you the best of luck on October the 4th. We'll certainly be rooting for you, and I'm sure the country will as well. So, yeah, go bring that belt back to Northampton. Very best of luck. And
thank you.
And go and enjoy the rest of your evening. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care, Chantel. Thank you. Bye. Charles, fantastic story. I mean, I do hope Chantel Cameron goes ahead and brings that WBC super lightweight title home.
Absolutely, Mark. I mean, she sounds very soft, meek and mild on the call, doesn't she? But when she's in the ring, she likes to bring it. Like she said, she's aggressive, and she'll be, you know, on the front foot. And, you know, I think the Brazilian girl's in for a tough, tough night. But what an opportunity, you know, fantastic opportunity.
Absolutely. And, I mean, that's why I put that song on for the Hall of Fame. I think we touched off air with Chantel that, you know, that song was on there really for her to, you know, to enjoy first and foremost, and secondly, to go and bring that belt back to Northampton.
And certainly she will be a Hall of Famer if she gets that belt, Mark. So good luck to her, and I'm really, really looking
and
forward
she
to
has,
it.
As she has been mandatory on two occasions. Those world title fights haven't come through. You touched on the Katie Taylor fight. I think Taylor's been avoiding that one, if I'm brutally honest, Charlie, because Chantel Cameron is a very forthcoming fighter. She likes to own the centre of the ring. And that would be a tough night for Katie Taylor if that fight ever did happen.
Well, she's dangerous, Mark, isn't she? She's dangerous. You know, Katie's, not that she's getting old, but, you know, she's had, you know, some of the recent fights, she's had real, real tough fights, Mark. And you don't know how much impact that will have on her, you know, long term. And obviously, someone like Chantel, she's the future, you know. She is the future of the sport in terms of British sport. And, you know, there's always been a friendly rivalry between Britain and Ireland, but she's certainly, you know, she's the future of British boxing, I think, Chantel Cameron. So they've avoided that like the plague, but they can't now because, you know, Matchroom, they're both under Matchroom. That fight is an easy one to make further down the road and a very, very lucrative one as well.
I think also, though, there's some big domestic fights out there for Chantel Cameron as well, if Taylor chooses again not to challenge for you know, for that unification fight with
But obviously
with Chantel
if Chantel wins the world title, Mark, it's an extra string to Katie Taylor's bow. If she wants to bite it, you know, there's a dangler carrot, there's another world title, and now you can't avoid me. You know, you want to fight, let's have a unification fight, or step up, fight me, or I'll step down. Do you know what I mean? It's an intriguing one. If Chantel comes through, which I do believe she will do, come through and, you know, claim that title, you know, eventually I think that fight will have to be made.
Right, guys, time for another song. We're going to leave you with this one, back in 2002. Craig David featuring Sting, Rise and Fall. Cracking tune. Enjoy this one. We'll catch you very soon.
And the scenes are slow, the writing's on the wall. Superstar, you finally made it, but once your picture becomes tainted, it's what they call the rise and fall. Sometimes in life you feel the fight is over. Seems as though the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
Superstar, you finally made it, but once your picture becomes tainted, it's what they call the rise and fall.
I always said that I was gonna make it, and I was playing for everyone to see. But this game I'm in don't take no prisoners, just casualties. I know that everything is gonna change, even the friends I knew before me go. But this dream is the life I've been searching for. Started believing that I was the greatest, my life was never gonna be the same. Cause with the money came a different status, that's when things changed. Now I'm too concerned with all the things I own, blinded by all the pretty girls I see. I'm beginning to lose my integrity.
Sometimes in life you feel the fight is over,
over.
And it seems as though the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
Superstar, you finally made it, but once your picture becomes tainted, it's what they call
I never used to be a troublemaker. Now I don't even wanna please the fans. No autographs, no interviews, no pictures, endless demands. Gave in the vices that were clearly wrong, the types that seemed to make me feel so right. But some things you may find can take over your life. Burn all my bridges, now I've run out of places, and there's nowhere left for me to turn. Been caught in compromising situations I should have learned from all those times I didn't walk away when I knew that it was best to go. Is it too late to show you the shape of my
sometimes
heart?
Sometimes in life you feel the fight is over. And it seems as though the
writing's
on the wall.
The writing's on
the wall. You finally made it,
I don't care, but you don't realize what this means to me. So let me have just one more chance. I'm not the man I used to be, used to be.
Sometimes in life you feel the fight is over.
And
the season's
over, the ride is over.
The ride is over.
Oh yeah, that's what they call the rise and fall.
Sometimes in life you feel the fire.
find that suicide.
Beautiful stuff, Charlie. Now it's that favourite time of the week.
Quote of the week. Always look at what you have left. Never look at what you have lost. Now that ties in with that song, lovely, Mark. And it ties in with boxing, you know. You know, we've all been in the ring, we've all won some, we've all lost some, you know, for those boxers out there, irrespective of levels, you know, whether you're at the beginning of your career or you're at the height of your career, you know, never look at what you've lost. Always look at what you've got left, especially in the tank. You know, pick yourself up and go again. The rise and fall.
Now, that can, you know, that could be in reference to many things at the moment, not just sport, pandemic, you know, getting over COVID. Anything, getting over a difficult time with loved ones, because let's face it, we're all in this and we're all in it together at the moment, and it is not easy times at all. So we just got to stick in there. Rise and fall, Craig David, beautiful stuff. Charlie, lots of boxing to look forward to next weekend. Upcoming fights to mention, we've got September 26th, BT Sports Studios, London. We've got Bob Arum's Top Rank and Frank Warren's Queensbury promotion. Josh Taylor versus Appian Kong Shong for the WBA and IBF super lightweight titles. Also on that bill, Charlie Edwards versus Carl Williams, his first bout of bantamweight. And also September 26th, also at the Plaz Media Broadcast Centre, the World Boxing Super Series final. Maris Breeders versus Junior Doritos for the IBF cruiserweight title. I mean, these bouts to look forward to. There's also an event in Denmark next week, the big Croatian heavyweight Filip Hrgović versus Andrei Palav. That's a heavyweight bout. There's also in Riga, Latvia, the Golden Contract bout between Hosea Burton versus Ricardis Bolonknics in the light heavyweight division, the semi-finals. I mean, it goes on and on. We've got the Charlo brothers in action. That's coming from Al Heyman in Connecticut. Jamal Charlo versus Jason Rosario. And Jamal Charlo versus Dervinchenko. Luis Neri is also on that bill. And so too is John Real Casimiro. And Daniel Roman is also on that bill. So yeah, I mean, next week, Charlie, UK, US. I mean, it's everywhere. Riga, can't wait.
Riga, obviously Munich. You know, Marius Brides for the... it's gone, it's at me, the cruiserweight title, isn't it? He won the World Super Series. You know, I'm looking forward to that, Mark. But Hosea Burton, we saw him next door at the Brentwood Centre, didn't we, in the quarterfinals. Really, really impressed with him. He's you know, he's got a tough one going out to Latvia to face that, you know, the guy who knocked out the Irish fella, didn't he? Who did he beat in the quarters, Mark? Stephen Ward,
yeah.
The quiet man, yeah. He beat him in the quarters. So, you know, Hosea Burton's, he's got a pair to go out there and, you know, front it in Latvia. So that is one I'm really looking forward to. And you can get that on, I think it's on Sky Sports next weekend. So you've got obviously that on Sky Sports. You've got BT, like you said, Josh Taylor. I'm intrigued to see Charlie Edwards stepping up in weight. He certainly looks a bit more healthier. So really, really looking forward to seeing him. And as I said earlier, you know, I'm not a fan of the Charlo twins. So I personally won't be staying up for that one. But you're all more than welcome, fight fans, if you're listening, if you fancy a bit of that. You know, you can either subscribe, try and get a link if I were you, because like I said earlier, pay-per-view, $75. No, thank you.
What I don't understand, though, about the Golden Contract semi-final, Charlie, like heavyweights, so when are the other bouts taking place? They're going to take place on the 30th. September, Wednesday night.
Correct.
At
yeah,
York Hall.
Yeah, exactly that. So at the York Hall, they've got the other semi-finals, haven't they? So you know, it's what a great concept that Golden Contract's been, Mark. It's really, you know, really elevated the boxers and obviously put MTK up there as well, because you know they're a real force now. I think they celebrated their 8th year birthday not that long ago. So you know, congrats to Lee Eaton and team. They seem to be going great guns at the moment. So in general, British boxing, it's certainly ramping up. It's just a real shame that we haven't got spectators in the arenas just yet. But you know, hopefully that will change in the coming months. We really do hope so.
Yeah, hopefully sooner rather than later. Like I said, we touched on earlier, if we don't get fight fans back in the arenas, I think boxing is really, really going to struggle. You know, professionals need to be paid, they need to be fighting, and that might play into the hands of this whole Queensbury versus Matchroom or BT versus Sky event, where they can really charge a potential premium to get those fights on. Where the venue would be, I don't know, but Eddie Hearn is due to be having dinner with Frank Warren at the end of September.
Yeah, I know, Mark. Really looking forward to that. But what about this other farcical bet? Did you see in the week Mayweather? Did you see that Mayweather-Logan Paul? I mean, you're talking about pay-per-views. You know, if you're paying $75 for a genuine, you know, world title night of boxing, like what's coming up with the Charlos, you know, what are you going to pay for Mayweather versus Logan Paul, this YouTuber? I mean, I bet you, I can guarantee you that, well, I don't know for sure, but I bet you that's going to be an expensive night of viewing just to watch that. And would you honestly stay up late for that one? Because I've got no interest in it.
Yeah, I don't buy into this whole, you know, boxes switching over from UFC to boxing, or boxing to UFC, or even Tyson Fury to WWE. It just doesn't wash me. Social media, I mean, that guy's had one bout, hasn't he?
Yeah, one bout. He's a cruiserweight, and obviously, you know, Mayweather's a lot smaller in height and in weight. But it's not even a contest. It's not even a contest for me, but it's just one of those things that I think that's just, you know, a business decision that they know we're in lockdown. They know that people are at home, you know, and the younger crowd now, you know, all the social media, you know, all these YouTube followers, they'll probably buy into it, and, you know, they'll buy into it, and they'll probably pay, you know, big bucks just to see it. But me personally, I've got no interest whatsoever.
No, I tend to agree with you there. So, Charlie, yeah, lots of bouts to look forward to. Any particular bout next week that you're really looking forward to?
Well, as I said, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Charlie Edwards, see how he fares. Just because, you know, unfortunately, you know, his last weight, I just don't think he could cut the weight anymore. And it really showed, you know, because he's a slick operator, Charlie Edwards. And I think, you know, he'll find his feet at this weight. I'm really looking forward to see how he goes, because he is going to be rusty. There's no two ways about it. And obviously, Josh Taylor, you know, Kong Song's been calling him out. You know, he's a big favourite in Thailand. And, you know, he's supposed to bang a punch as well, Mark. But as we know, Josh Taylor, he's different gravy for me. You know, some of his combinations and his hand speed, I think he's electric. I really do believe that, you know, Josh Taylor takes that and takes it comfortably. So looking forward to that. And as I said, Jose Burton as well, Mark. You know, really looking forward to him, you know, going out to Latvia. You know, he's going into the Lion's Den. Really looking forward to that one, because he is a slick boxer as well, and he's obviously he's got his boxing skills from the Furies. You know, he's a cousin of Tyson Fury, isn't he? So he's a very, very good boxer. So looking forward to that one as well.
Yeah, that's probably the one bout I'm really intrigued to see if he can stay away from Bolotnik's real power. You know, we witnessed it by, you know, we were ringside that night when he took Steve Ward out. I mean, the punch, the power behind that, oh my good God. I mean, Ward was, he didn't even see that punch coming. He could not recover from it.
No, he didn't, Mark. And we were literally ringside, weren't we? And it was a sickening blow. And, you know, unfortunately, Stephen Ward went, you know, he went straight down in a straight line. It wasn't nice to see. But I think, you know, like we touched upon earlier with Charlie Edwards, you know, not cutting weight. You know, I think with Ward going up to cruiserweight, it's a very wise move. And I think he'll come again as well. He's a strong, strong kid, a humble guy. And I think he'll come strong. But yeah, you know, that guy can hit. There's no two ways about it. But I think Jose Burton has got the ring craft, Mark. He'll keep the distance. He's got a long jab, and he's got good, you know, good boxing IQ, you know, from fighting from a young age. So I think he'll win it, and he'll win it probably over the distance. You know, I can probably see him taking it on points.
Well, you touched on Jose Burton there and his career so far. A bit stop-start career. He's got Corolla now in his corner with
Gallagher,
based up in Manchester. He's got, you know, he's, as you said, a cousin of the Furies. Very, very talented fighter. So if anyone hasn't seen Jose Burton, he's not really mainstream yet, and you probably haven't had a chance to look at him. He's been, you know, restricted to opportunities, and this is his opportunity. So he could be the champion of that whole golden contract.
Well, if he does, Mark, I mean, he's in the past, he's been calling out people like Anthony Yard, you know. And if he does win it, it will elevate his career. There's no two ways about it. And who knows, you know, you might see him facing someone like Anthony Yard for a world title. I think he is that good. I was really, really impressed with him when I saw him live. You know, I thought it was all hype, you know, all the talk, but I was very, very impressed with him. So, yeah, you know, boxing fans, do keep an eye on next week's boxing. You know, you'll get it on Sky Sports, like we said, you'll get it on BT. If you can't, I'm sure you get a stream out there. So there's a big, big weekend of boxing next weekend. So really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. I mean, don't forget, guys, also, we're on all the socials. We're on Twitter at On The Ropes FM.
One.
We're on Instagram.
On The Ropes FM.
Charlie knows all this. He's much better at social media than I am. And we're on Facebook.
On The Ropes. So and obviously now we're on a webcam, Mark. We can see you live now. And we've got a second camera. You can, if you're live, go, I can't remember the, what is it, Mixcloud, isn't it? Mixcloud.com/Phoenix FM. You will see us live now. Yeah, if you want to laugh, you know, we've put on a bit of timber over lockdown. So if you want to laugh, you know, go on the webcam there and you'll see our two ugly mugs.
And yeah, if you want to know what we look like, we're on there. You can see Charlie smiling right now. I've got thumbs up. So if you are watching this live, I hope you've enjoyed the show and have a fantastic Sunday evening.
Yeah, I normally don't smile much. So Mark's made me a cup of tea and I've had a Mars bar in between the songs. So I am happy.
Always happy with a bit of chocolate, that boy. Yeah, so like I said, keep tuning in, keep sharing the show. Keep on socials. You know, any questions you want to ask, just hit the Twitter button, and you know, send us those messages. Or you can text into Phoenix 98 FM. There's a number here: 07783 627726. You know, we'll any suggestions, anything you'd like to see, you know, any questions, anything about boxing, get on there, get it into us, Phoenix 98 FM, and we will respond. So Charlie, like I said, you know, big weekends of boxing coming up. Chantelle Cameron, fantastic to have her on the show. Women's boxing is thriving. Hope she goes on October the 4th and you know, takes the opportunity, bring the belt back. What we like to do is obviously interview our guests. We always try and strip it back. It's not just about what you're doing now, what are you up to now. It's about how you got into the game, what your aspirations are, you know, and that's what we want. We want people to enjoy that.
Absolutely. We try and give a little bit of, you know, because it's great that we're doing it, and it's great that we can get, you know, boxers on the line. You know, you build a bit of rapport and you know, try and understand the mindset and the sacrifices and the past. You know, everyone's got a story. Everyone has got a story, and it's great that we can bring the story to fight fans, because that's why we do it. You know, we're all passionate about the sport. We all love the sport. So do keep listening every Sunday night, 8 o'clock, live on Phoenix 98 FM. You can get us on the web as well. You can listen live at phoenixfm.com. You can also get us on Alexa. Just tell Alexa to play Phoenix 98 FM. There's no excuses, fight fans. Tell your friends and let them tell all their friends. We're here every week, Sunday, 8 p.m. live.
Absolutely. Now, as I said, next week we will be live at Phoenix 98 FM, 8 p.m. We will be bringing you, hopefully, another live guest to talk all things boxing, as we always do.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Mark. We've got recently signed Matchroom boxer, and he's also hooked up with Sam Jones, Johnny Fisher. The Romford boy is from round the corner in Romford in Essex. Looking forward to that one. The Romford boy, I mean, what a name tag that is. This guy's going to be a real brute, a real handful, Mark. Can't wait for that.
Yeah, he looks it. I'm actually looking forward to it. Firstly, to have him on the show, and secondly, to see his pro debut, because he's a big guy and he looks like he can hit.
Absolutely. So, yes, do stick around next week. Tune in, 8 o'clock, 98 FM. You cannot miss it.
Right, guys, we're going to leave you with a bit of a classic here, 1990s classic. It's really, it's my little boy's birthday next week, and this is one of his favourite songs, so I thought I'd play this for him. He's going to be celebrating his birthday next Friday. We're going to leave you with the Verve, Bitter Sweet Symphony. As always, have a fantastic week, and always remember,
you're always in with a puncher's chance. Have a good week, guys. Love you long time.
Trying to make ends meet, you.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM. Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM. Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Phoenix FM.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.